Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all of our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan Edward Ford is the pastor. Amen? Amen, amen. Aren't y'all glad Pastor Ford's our pastor? Amen, yes. Thank you, Jesus. How do you guys feel this morning? Y'all feel good? Good, good, good. Amen, amen. All right, so today is communion. Today is a wonderful day. Normally we do have it on our first Sunday, but this Sunday we're having it on our second Sunday, and we're going to give honor to God and give him the glory. Amen. Amen. Our scripture for today, I'm going to ask everyone to please stand. We're going to be turning to the book of Psalms, chapter 124. And that's going to be 124:8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I love that scripture. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen, amen. I feel that. Do y'all feel that? Do you feel that, Sister Tina? You do? Shanita, you feel that? Christina, you feel that? You do? All right. Alex, you feel that? Sister Rayetta, can I ask you? Do you feel that? Amen, amen. Deacon Todd, you feel that? All right. Where my youngins at? John Mitchell, you feel that? Jackson, you feel that? You feel that on that football field? Jacob, you feel that? All right. How about you, Gabe? How about you, Isabella? All right. Now let's let the church say, oh, wait. I didn't see Josh in the back. You feel that? That God is our help? That the help is in the name of the Lord. Do you feel that? You feel that? Hey, Sister Margaret. You feel it too? All right. Did I miss anybody? Josh and Josh, y'all feel that? All right. Just want to make sure. Did I call you Lillian? Lillian, I know you feel that. All right. Look, I'm about to cut up. I ain't know my nephew was here today. I said, oh, Lord. I thought Khalil was playing, but I see playing right now. But in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. All right, don't start. We're going to try to keep control of this communion. Pastor be out here in a minute. But sometimes I know we can't help ourselves. But we get our help from in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're now going to turn the service in the hands of our beautiful Sister Alex. And she's going to come to us with a sermonic selection. Everybody say amen as she comes. Oh, and our Deacon Khalil. Amen.
Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church. Come on, hallelujah, church. Come on, can we take a minute just to worship him? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to say, I surrender all. Hallelujah.
I surrender
hallelujah.
All to you.
In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Everything
yes, God. Hallelujah.
I give to you.
Hallelujah. With withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Withholding nothing.
I surrender. Hallelujah.
I surrender.
Yes, God. Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Everything
Hallelujah,
I give to you.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding
nothing. I surrender all to you.
Do y'all mind if I just pray for a minute? Hallelujah, Jesus.
Everything.
Hallelujah, God.
I
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah,
you.
Withholding nothing. Hallelujah, Jesus, we come before you right now in the name of
nothing.
Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just to say thank you, God. Hallelujah,
nothing.
Jesus. Hallelujah, we lay it all out before
I
you, God. We lay everything out before you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Because only you can handle our worries, God. Only you can handle our problems, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. So we lay down at the altar, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah.
Holding nothing.
We put it up before you, God, in true faith, God, in the name
holding
of Jesus, God,
nothing.
That you will see us through, God. I surrender all.
Give myself away.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So
Hallelujah,
you
Jesus.
Can you
yes, God. In the name of Jesus, God.
Give
touch this service,
away.
God. In the name of Jesus, God.
So you
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Can you
that somebody walking by will sense your glory, God, in the name of Jesus,
away.
God. And they will know that you are the true and living God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God.
Give
and they will walk in, God,
away.
In the name of Jesus, God, to experience
so
you, God,
you.
In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. I give myself away.
I give myself
Hallelujah,
away.
Jesus. In the name of Jesus,
so
God.
You. Can
Hallelujah,
you
Jesus. I give myself away.
I give myself away, so you
yes, God.
Can
say,
you
say, I surrender all.
I surrender all to you.
Everything.
Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing.
I surrender. Come on, do you surrender
unto
him? Do you surrender unto your Savior? Hallelujah. Do you surrender unto your God? Hallelujah, Jesus.
I give
in the name of Jesus.
To you.
And we're withholding nothing from you, God. In the name of
holding
Jesus.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing, God.
Withholding nothing.
Hallelujah. Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Yes, God, in the name of Jesus, God.
Withholding nothing.
Say, all I want is you.
All I want is you.
Hallelujah. How many of you just want to see Jesus? Hallelujah, Jesus. All I want is you.
All I
Hallelujah,
want
Jesus.
Is you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. All I want is you, Lord. All I want is you.
All I want is you.
Come on, open up your mouth and tell them right now in the name of Jesus. All I want is you, God.
All I want is you.
Hallelujah. Come on, raise it up. All I want is you.
All I want is you.
Yes, God, in the name of Jesus. All I want is you, God, right now, God.
All I want is you.
Come on, say, I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Yes, God. We surrender everything to you, God.
Everything.
Yes, God.
I give to you.
We're holding nothing.
We're holding nothing.
Yes, God.
We're holding nothing.
We're holding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing. Withholding. holding nothing.
Can we just say, all I want is you again?
All I want is you.
Can you imagine how nice that sounds to God? For you to raise your voice and tell him,
all I want is you.
Can you just picture the smile on his face hearing that? That out of everything in this life that you want,
all I want
is really just to know him, to serve him, to do his glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. All I want is you.
All I want is you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Last one. All I want is you.
All I want is you.
All I want is you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. If everyone could please stand. We are now going to welcome our pastor, Pastor Jonathan Ford. Everyone say, God bless Pastor Ford. God bless Pastor Ford. Real good. Amen.
You may be seated all over the sanctuary. I am going to give an opportunity if there are any men that would like to move closer in these front rows. Turn me down some, Josh. You got me real loud. Scaring me a little bit. But thank God. Thank God for all of you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Kim, turn this light on. The mic is loud. The lights are on. Lord Jesus, help us here tonight. But all is well. Let me start first by saying I was absent on last Sunday. As many of you know, had an opportunity to go see my dad, spend the weekend with him, my sister Cindy, husband Bruce, and her family. And I just wanted to let you know that my dad sends his love to everybody. He was like, well, what did y'all do? I don't know if you guys have ever hung out with older people, senior citizens. They don't do much. People go, well, what did you do your dad? I said, well, we didn't do much. We ate. While we ate, we talked. And we went back to the house. While we were at the house waiting for the next time we would eat, we talked. Then we ate. Then while we were eating, we talked again. And then while we were waiting for dinner, we talked some more. And maybe a surprise to you, maybe not, but we talked about just about all of you. I don't know how he does it. His memory's sharp, but he kept naming them off. What about this one? And what about this one? And some of you, he didn't have your names exactly correct, but I knew who he was talking about. I'm like, yeah, I know he's talking about. He's doing well. She's doing well. We just went kind of down the line. And so, it was a great time of fellowship, just to be with my dad, obviously not having that opportunity as much with him being at a distance. But like I said, he thought so fondly of so many of you, called you by name. So what about this one? What about that one? And he just was ecstatic to hear the updates, how folks are doing, how the church is doing. So I promised him, I said, well, Dad, I'm going to give everybody your regards, right? And I'm doing it on the live broadcast that way because he watches every Sunday. Once him and Cindy get home from church and after dinner, they replay it. So, Dad, you can see I kept my word. I told them about everybody. I even told them about Gabe. I said, what about? He was like, what about Cure them youngins? I said, Gabe. I said, yeah, Gabe's getting down the road. Gabe's getting down the road. So, like I said, I wanted to do that to let you know that my dad was thinking about each and every one of you. Amen? Before we get into the Word of God, I do want to hand out the communion sacraments. So if we have those anywhere in the church, I want to make sure everyone has one, right? If you don't have one, Bryce is going to get you some good. Because as I preach this morning, I want you to have the sacraments in hand. If you don't have one, just slip your hand up. Bryce is going to grab you some. I'm going to ask our usher, as folks come in, if they need one, make sure. But you need it. It's got to be in your hand. It's got to be in your hand. So while those are being distributed, Bryce, there's one in the back, Bryce. You see in the back, a hand is up. Another one is up. Now, I do want to make this statement. I'm not preaching about communion this time, but I want to make this statement. Let me have it, Kay. And I want you to be clear on this. Communion, matter of fact, he taught it on Wednesday night. Communion is for believers only. Okay? I want to be clear about that. This is not, oh, let's all do it. You may consider that, you know, I may not want to participate because I'm not a believer yet. I want to be very clear. Again, I'm not teaching on communion, but I just want to be clear. Communion is for believers only. Everybody with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, good. Good, good. Because the Bible, when we do teach about communion, that's where that phrase comes in. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Not discern it. That means you don't care. You don't discern the Lord's body. You take the communion either as an unbeliever, right? Or this is where we come in. You take communion as a believer with unconfessed sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? It's either two categories. Either you're an unbeliever and you just take it because you just want to take it, but that's not discerning. It's not for you. It's for believers only. Or if you are a believer and you come to the Lord's table and you have known unconfessed sin, and you still take communion, the Word of God said you eateth and drinketh damnation to yourself. Why? Because you didn't discern the Lord's body. Right? And you got two choices. One, before coming to the Lord's table, before taking of the sacraments, you do what? Confess your sins. Lord, right now, this moment, Lord, forgive me. And don't say no general forget, name it. Forgive, I lied in school yesterday. I took something that wasn't mine last week. Confess it, right? Then he says what? Leave your gift at the altar, right? Because you confessed it, you can now take communion, but you gotta leave your gift at the altar because now you gotta go and do what? You got to go and repent to the person you've offended. Are you with me? So you just can't say, oh, forgive me for stealing her pocketbook and take communion and just keep on going. No, forgive me for stealing her pocketbook. Now, because I take communion, the Holy Spirit weighs my conscience down. So now, after communion, I go and say, you know what? Here, I was the one that took your pocketbook. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's discerning the Lord's body. You follow what I'm saying? And I don't even know why I'm going this. I told you I wasn't going to preach on this. But that's important, and it's important. I'm going to tell you why. He only gave us two things we must do. Till he come again, right? Water baptism and communion, right? The only two things you must do. That he just laid it out. This is it. Until I come again, preach that gospel so what? People get saved and then baptize them, right? The significance of water baptism. And then he said, as often as you do this, have communion. The challenge with communion in church. And it's not just communion. It's really anything you do often has the greatest potential to become common. Do you know what I mean? Anybody know what I mean by that? Worst thing that can ever happen is for you to let something significant become common. Because once it becomes common, you don't what? You don't treat it with the importance it deserves. Why? Oh, it really don't matter because all we're going to do is have communion when? Next month. So I'll just do it next month. It just becomes common. Because we do it often, we have a tendency to take communion lightly. You follow what I'm saying? And so we very easily come to the Lord's table with unconfessed sin. We very easily tell our friends, oh yeah, you can take communion with us. No, they can't. They can be in the worship service, enjoy the fellowship, but lest they have asked Christ to be their personal Savior, they can't come to the Lord's table. And it should be a part of your witness to explain to them why they can't. Not to their exclusion. No, I want you to take communion with us. But to do it, you got to make Christ your Savior. It's not an opportunity to separate us from the world. It's an opportunity for us to invite the world. What is that y'all doing? What's in that? Well, why do y'all do it? Holy Spirit has just opened a wide door. And all you got to do is explain it. As believers, we take communion. We remember his death, his sacrifice. We remember to confess our sins. It's a reminder that God has built into the church to help purify and cleanse the church so that when he comes again, the Bible says he's coming for a church without a spot or wrinkle. You know what that church is? It's the church that can keep communion faithfully. That's the church without spot or wrinkle. What makes it without spot or wrinkle? Because every time you come to the Lord's table, you what? You confess your sins. Imagine there was no communion. You just, you just keep getting down the road. But it's built into the life of the church. Communion. Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I think pastors are to preach more often on communion, myself included. Because like I said, it just becomes common. You just, oh yeah, just communion. Oh yeah, just. That's the thing you don't want to happen. Because the moment that happens, you fail to discern the Lord's body. Then you treat him like he's common. Like he was just another regular old dude, just whatever. And he's not. Okay. Well, that's sermon number one. So now on the sermon number two, right? Okay. You have your Bibles. I'm going to preach very familiar passage. And I'm going to amend my time. People are like, wait a minute. If we two sermons, that means you go. No, I'm going to adjust my time. Look at everybody smiling, laughing. John 3:16. Very familiar passage. Many people call John 3:16 the Bible in a verse. So if you had to sum it all up, just boil it down. I can't get all 66 books and the thousand, or just many people say if you just give them John 3:16. For many of us, it's what we first learned when we went to Sunday school or vacation Bible school, right? Can say it without me. How many people can say John 3:16 by memory? Right? If you don't, you need to be able to, man. Study that thing. Memorize it. And then the witness, I'm going to stay in John, and I'm just going to add chapter 14, verse 31. I'm going to challenge your thinking this Sunday morning. Come on, let's all say it together. We know it. You know it by heart. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now to the witness 14 and 31. And I want you to listen to what it says. Go there yourself so you can see it. So you can tell I'm not making it up or lying. Right? You got your phone, your Bible. Anybody need a Bible? Everybody got it? I want you to read it yourself. But remember, I've been telling you guys for Wednesday night, your best Bible study tool, it's not a biblical Hebraica, it's not a biblical dictionary, it's not the Bible in its original Greek or Latin. No. That's just you spending your money. One of your best tools in Bible study is to do what? Anybody remember what I told you? Read out loud. It'll do more to advance your knowledge of the Word of God than anything else. Just read it out loud. Because I told you that what? The Bible says this, faith cometh by what? You got to hear it. Reading to yourself, you don't hear it. Yeah, you hear it. But when you read it out loud, something happens. And the spirit of a person who has been chosen for salvation by God before the foundation of the world, that's all Wednesday night. We're in the book of Ephesians. There's nothing but Wednesday night, right? Such that when you hear it, audibly, something in your spirit moves. That's how you know God has chosen you. If you can read it audibly and nothing happens, nothing happens. But to those that he has chosen, when they hear the word of God, the Spirit of God in them responds. So you got to read audibly, right? Activates the Holy Spirit in you, right? So look at it. We got John 3:16, we all know. But here's a verse that may not be as familiar. Look at this. And in my Bible, this is in red because this is Jesus speaking. Listen to what he says. But that the world may know that I love the Father. Are you with me? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Right? God did it for us. Jesus is saying, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so do I. You guys with me? Do you get what he's saying? Huh? What? Anybody? I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. That's why I said I want to challenge your thinking this morning. Christ
did not die for you. I got the witness to prove it. And I know we teach that. I know we believe that. And there is some truth in it, but the totality of it is not true. One, just dealing with what I was talking about for communion, we know that Christ didn't die for what? Everybody. He only died for those that were what? Ephesians tells us that we're what? Predestined. Meaning God chose us before time. It's for the whole world to see, but only for the chosen to receive. Right? So that we just in general we know that. But I want to challenge your thinking with the words of Jesus Christ himself. This is not someone else saying what Jesus thought or did. This is Jesus. Listen to what he said. But that the world may know that I love my Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. He died on this cross because he loved his Father. He really died. That's his own testimony. That's not a prophet speaking on his behalf. It's not an apostle writing about him what they thought out of his own mouth. Said, so that all you guys know. Because if we work it out, the commandment that he gave him was what? I need you to die on the cross. And because he loved the Father so, he did. Are you with me? The statement God is love signifies that love is an essential attribute of God's nature. It's not merely something that he has or does. It's a core concept found in the Bible, in particular 1 John 4:8, where it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This means that God's love is fundamental to his being, and that those who truly know him will reflect that same love. This morning, I just want to hang this sermon on this one nail, right? Lovers give. Lovers give. Right? Right? And again, I can prove it because I have what? The witness. John tells us, it's John recording a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. God loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. So I'm just going to get down the road. He tells us first that it starts with God. Always remember that everything begins with God. Right? Genesis 1:1 tells us that what? In the beginning, what's the next word? God. What comes after it really don't matter. The important part is that first part is in the beginning, God. Now it went on to say created the heavens and earth and then begins to detail how he went about doing it. But the point Moses is trying to get the children of Israel to understand is that everything begins with God. Right? So I, too, as your pastor, am trying to help you to understand that everything in your life begins with God. One of the worst things you can do is to take on any task, any assignment, do anything in your life
and not begin first with God. Start with God. Start with God. Why? He's before. This is what he says. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Why not take advantage of God in the beginning? Right? So he says that. For God, and then he tells us that the four things I'm lifting up. God, love, gave, and his only begotten Son. So that's God. He's in the beginning. He's before all things. The next thing Jesus tells Nicodemus is that he tells him about God's love. Everything, if you're not on Wednesday night, I can't beg you any more than what I already, you got to get on Wednesday. We're walking through the book of Ephesians. Just simple, verse by verse, boom, 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 line by line, precept by precept. And one of the things you're going to see, if you haven't seen it already, the meticulous detail through which God orchestrates our salvation. You ever wonder why God just didn't just wave his hand? Okay, you're saved. He could have, he's God, he could do it. He could have just said, ah, I'm starting all over again. He didn't. But he goes through extreme detail. The adoption of sons, the redemption, the blood. It's just on and on and on and on. So much detail. Communion. If you're going to do it, this is how you got to do it. You're going to bring a lamb. It can't be any lamb. It's got to be the first lamb. It's got to be without, just like, why all the detail? He could have just did the God thing and been over with it and been done with it and been down the road. But no, he went through detail. Why he go through so much detail? Because he loved us. Right? Goes through this detail, this exhaustive plan. If anything you want to know about your God, know this, your God is a strategist. A lot of people like, oh, God's powerful, and he is. I tend to believe he's more wiser, he has more wisdom equal to what he has in power. So he doesn't have to muscle it all the time. But that's enough. John 3:16, God loved, right? And we understand not just he loves, but that he is love. So out of God comes love. And then the very next phrase, word we want to look at is that what? He gave. God is in the beginning of everything and all things. Loves us, right? And as a result of his love for us, the very next thing Jesus says about his Father is that what? He gave. Lovers give. Right? Not only does he give, but now we got to work what he gives out. Because again, he's God. He could give anything. Or he could give what? Everything. Why? Because he's God. God could give the whole world. He wouldn't be broke. He'd just make another world. He's God. He could do that. But listen to what he gives. The Bible said he gives his only begotten Son. I'm just going to cut to the chase. Make sure you got your sacraments in your hand. Got to have your, the reason I did this. God gives, everybody look at me and listen, the only thing he has one of.
The only thing that he has won us, is that somebody's phone or is that my phone? I think that's my phone. I didn't turn my phone on. God, in the beginning, God, he loves. As a result of his love, he gives, right? Lovers give. And again, he could have given anything because he's God. No matter what he would have given, he wouldn't have been at loss because he could have what? Created more. Oh, I'm going to give you the stars. All right, take the stars. He just make more stars. I'm going to give you the whole earth. Okay, he could make another earth. You see what I'm saying? But he couldn't have another son. He gave the only thing he had won of. That's why John, when John records it, he said, God loves, he gave his only begotten son. Now, just to prove to you guys that I studied, and I'm not just up here fooling this around, that phrase only begotten is from the Greek word manganese. Manganese. Is it up there, Josh? It's not up there? Y'all see it? You got it? That's where that phrase, if you look at this in its original text, that Greek word manganese, that's that only begotten. The definition is pertaining to or being the only one of its kind or class, unique in nature. There's only one son. You guys with me? This is the meaning that is implied in John 3:16. John was primarily concerned with demonstrating that Jesus is the Son of God, and he uses the phrase monogenes to highlight Jesus as uniquely God's Son, meaning sharing the same divine nature. Now, that's different, again, Bible study, Wednesday night, reason why you need to be there. We are all, including the ladies, sons by adoption. Right? That's Ephesians 1:4. Predestined us to be what? Be adopted sons. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He becomes our Father. But we were not begotten by God. He went through a legal process to become our Father. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. The only one of his kind is unique. What? There's no replacement for him. Well, if Jesus got, get a new Jesus. No. It's only one Jesus. The only thing God had one of. And what did he do with it? He gave it. Gave it. Anytime I teach giving, I always try to help believers to understand, God never looks at how much you give. Because like I said, it's nebulous to God. You can't give God money or lambs or whatever. He never looks at what you give or how much you give. Anybody remember when I teach on this, what I always say? God always looks at what? Huh? How's important, cheerful giver? God always looks at how much you have left. That's what God looks at. All of us, we look at how much you give, right? Remember when I taught on the widow's mite? Do y'all remember that? Last year or whenever I did it, Lillian had the table up with all the coins. All the Pharisees, it's not only did they give a lot of money, it made a lot of noise when they gave the money. And as a result, all the people in the temple were impressed by how much they gave. But that Sunday, Jesus took the offering that Sunday. And the Bible said the widow came and just threw in two mites, less than a penny. And Jesus said, she's given more than all. I mean, you got to be deaf, dumb, and stupid. These guys are throwing in bad. They put it in a horn that went down. And as it went down the horn, you heard it clatter. You never throw money in something. Clatter, 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 until it hit the bottom. So everyone could tell they gave a lot because it made a lot of noise. It was a showy offering. The widow put in two mites. And nobody heard it. There's not enough to make any noise. It just went down the chute, hit the bottom. And consequently, it wasn't worth much. But Jesus said, since he was taking the offering that Sunday, you read the story, he's sitting right there. She has given more than all. How could he say that? Because he didn't measure how much you gave. He measured how much you had left. Those guys who gave bags and bags of coin, guess what they had at home? Bags and bags of what? More coins. So what they gave didn't, it was no loss to them. You see what I'm saying? Even though the widow gave less, she actually gave more because after the transaction was over, what did she have left?
Nothing.
Lovers give. God so loved the world. God's a lover. We know he loves the world because he what? He gave. He didn't give anything. He gave everything in the form of his what? Only. There's only one, Christ Jesus. And his Father willingly gave him up for you and I. Are you with me? The only way he could get Abraham to understand the magnitude of the coming Messiah, whom he would never see. So take your son. No, he didn't even say that. He said, take the wood, the fire. Go up in the mountain, offer a sacrifice. Abraham gets there and he said, God, we're here. Got the wood, got the fire. Where is the sacrifice? So give me Isaac. Put him on the altar. Not that God wanted to kill Isaac, but he wanted Abraham to feel what it's like to give your only begotten son. If I don't want your lambs, you go out. I want your only son. Put him on. That's what. Are you with me? Are you getting where I'm going? Are you getting a sense of the magnitude of God's love for us? Right? I can give you this robe. Like, oh, wow, the pastor gave me his robe. That's great. But guess what? I can go to the store and get a new robe tomorrow. Right? But when I give you something, there's only one of. I'm at a loss. It shows the magnitude of my love for you. Are you with me? Mongo knees. Only begotten. God gave everything he had. Then we go to the witness. The witness tells us that what? That Jesus Christ, God's only begotten, like his Father, did what? gave everything he had. The Philippian writer tells us he was faithful even unto death, and death on the cross. He gave his life. And I don't believe it was an easy thing for him to do. The Bible writer tells us in Gethsemane that he prayed desperately for another solution. That's what he was praying for. Three times he kept going back, asking God, is there any other way? His father says, it's the only way. This is the only way that I can guarantee them redemption. For the Bible tells us what we learned, that we touched on the other night, without the what? The shedding of blood, there can be what? No redemption. The father said, blood must be shed. And it can't be shed by temporal things, animals. So that'll help for a moment, but it won't help for all eternity. I need holy blood. And you're the only one who can give it. So the Father freely gives the Son, then the Son freely gives his life, right? With that as the backdrop, now let's take communion. Every time you take communion, remember that God gave everything. Don't look at communion and just see this. What did our church say? Oh, I got one of those things. You know those things they give out? Don't let communion become common. Every time we take communion, you need to remember what God gave for you. He gave the only thing he has one of. Never be another son. Father gave him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Then that very same son, in the same love, gave us his own testimony. You read it. You don't have to take my word for it. It's in your own Bible. That the world may know that he loved the Father. He said, the Father gave me a commandment. And he said, I go to do it. It's going to cost me my life. But I'm willing to do it. Why? Because lovers give. That's how you know someone loves you. Right? Love is an action word. You know they love you based on how they give. That's how you know. That's how we know God loves us. Based on what? What he gave. That's how we know Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible gave me the witness. And he proved it. Calvary's cross. He proved it. There it is. There's the evidence of his love. So every time, in remembrance, we take up the bread. He said, this is my body. Broken for you. Told his disciples, and I tell you the same, eat ye all of it. right? Here's Wednesday night Bible study. We have redemption because of his what? His shed blood. And he shed his blood because what? He loved the Father, and because the Father loved us. So they both gave everything they have. Shall we drink together? Don't ever forget what God gave for you. Are you with me? He gave everything. Now, I'm not going to work it out this Sunday. I'll work it out in future Sundays. But because he gave everything for us and to us, what is our proper response? To give to him in like manner. Right? We're not going to work on that this Sunday. We're going to work that out future Sunday. But he gave me everything he had to get me out of the clutches of sin. To give me a hope. To give me eternal life. To give me a home instead of hell. Jesus said this, I go to prepare a place because I love you. Because the Father loves you, he has prepared many mansions, many rooms where he lives at. Those rooms are for you. That where I go, we're going to live together for all eternity. Nobody's going to be able to undo it. No one's going to be able to change it. Lucifer can come in whatever form he wants, say whatever he wants, do whatever he wants, but not this time, devil. No, he's shielded with his own blood. He wrote it in permanent ink. That we would all be kings and priests unto God. Lovers give. God is love. So it's his nature to give. And every time we come to the Lord's table, remember what God gave. Shall we all stand? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Lord, we thank you for loving us. You didn't have to. You weren't required. You weren't under any pressure. We failed you. But in spite of that, you chose to love us anyway. In spite of our disobedience, our slothfulness, our unfaithfulness, yet you chose to love us anyway. God, we give you the glory. Lord, we bless your name this Sunday morning, this communion Sunday. I so love you. Woo! You made a way out of no way. You open doors no man can shut. For God so loved the world. He gave everything he had. And in like manner, so also did the Son. So our prayer this Sunday, Lord Jesus, first forgive us of our sins, our faults, our failures, our shortcomings against what you require of us. You said in your word, if we confess our sins, you promised you would be faithful and just. Forgive us of our sins. So we confess now. That we not handle the Lord's body. With the proper care it deserves. But Lord, help us to discern the Lord's body. Help us to understand and see our place in God. Lord Jesus, now that our sins are forgiven, fill our hearts with the agape love that even as you loved us, help us to love one another. That we become examples our Father. Just like our Father gave, so we as His children also give. Let us be lights in this dark world. Let us be salt on the ground. Allow the love of God to emanate through us. That they may see the Father, the Son, and glorify them with the glory they deserve. So Heavenly Father, until that day we come around the Lord's table again, help us to walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called. Help us to live holy. To live godly among all men. And Father, keep us against the great day of your coming, that when you come, we might be found ready and waiting. All because God loved us. All the people of God say amen, amen, amen again. Come on, Taylor, give them your best praise. Come on, if you love God, come on. If you love God, come on, let the world know, come on. Let the world know you are a lover. I'm a lover, just like my Father is a lover. Just like my elder brother is a lover. He gave his life. Come on, Taylor, give him your best praise. Come on, give him your best praise. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring. Thank you for dying for me. So that the world might know that we love the Father, that we love the Son. Let this be our testimony. And help us to live in like manner. God bless you, Taylor.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. We will now have our call to salvation. If you would like to receive Christ today, please repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sins. However, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus. And Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me of my sins today. Amen. Amen. If you've accepted this call to salvation today, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our contact page and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian. And leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps in your Christian journey. Amen. And if you have a prayer request, please visit our website at tabernacle.com, and find our prayer request page, or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave us a message. Amen. Now we're going to be moving on to the best part of our service. We're going to have our beautiful deacon Shanita Scott come before us, and she is going to take us to the offering and also bless us with the announcement. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. All right. So good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor, that's T-A-Y-L-R-L-O-R 61, to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylorstabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor's Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And last, we have Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those who are gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering, and one for our preacher, which is our pastor today. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit to the sanctuary. If you would like to make an offering to our pastor, you may also do so by using his Cash App or Venmo. And that's Cash App @ Pastor Jonathan Ford and Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. Amen. And as always, we thank you for your continued support in our ministry. for our announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday and every Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor's Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your email address and we will add you to the list. So for announcements, every first Sunday, we will gather here at 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by our morning worship at 10. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, as the pastor has mentioned numerous of times in his sermon today, is 7 o'clock p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child the 2nd through 5th Sunday. And also, just to remember, Pastor's Course YLE Challenge. Amen. August the 17th, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., we have our annual Farmers Market, that's 61st and Osage, fresh, chemical-free, produced straight from our Taylor's Tabernacle Garden, sponsored by Turning the Tide and Taylor's Tabernacle. Again, that's August the 17th. That will be from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. We have August the 30th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Dreams Come True Youth Conference. And that is ages 6 to 16. That will be presented by our Clutch Kings Law Enforcement Motorcycle Club, where our Deacon Tyrone Davis is the president of that club. So please come out and support them. I'm pretty sure they have a good program for the young people. There go some flyers. And then they'll be giving out free book bags. Topics include self-discipline, entrepreneurship, and many more. So see flyer for details, as our Deaconess Kim will be passing them around. And then Turning the Tide Garden. The garden is now open every Sunday following morning service. Please volunteer some time to help our gardeners, Lynn and Dave, with harvesting, weighing and preparing produce for distribution every Sunday. In addition, this means fresh produce is available every Sunday for you to take home and use in your meal planning for the week. And it's all free. So we thank you in advance for your help. So these are our announcements. Please govern yourself accordingly. And then I think now we're going to have our pastor come out for our benediction. Come on, Pastor.
Everybody, everywhere, shall we stand? If you're watching us at home, I invite you to stand with us as we give the benediction. One of these Sundays, I gotta preach on the blessing of the benediction, why it's so important to stay for the benediction. It's when the man or woman of God pronounces a blessing over your life. Every head bow, every eye close. God calls your face to shine down upon us. Let it give us both light and life, that our steps may be ordered by God Himself in a pathway that leads to life and righteousness. Father, I pray now that you bless every person here, believer and unbeliever alike. Father, I pray that you bless every home represented here. Father, I pray that your arm of mercy protects and keeps everyone here.
by your strength, allow us to meet again on the next Lord Sunday morning. We ask this prayer believing, not doubting, but knowing that all things are possible to them that believe. Let the people of God say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor. See you Wednesday night.